The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Work. Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown! Aho Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Murray heaves it downfield. It is. It's caught! It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous!
Fires. Mike's it. Walker!
There is no tomorrow. The 2021 NFL season is here. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL. George and I have been going through conference previews. Yesterday, we went through prop bets. We're going to get you started for week one, look at some of the week one lines. Also, talk about some of the quarterback battles entering July camp here. But George, before we do that, some news coming out of New Orleans. Michael Thomas, ankle surgery, might not be ready for the start of the season. That is a huge, huge loss, possibly, for the New Orleans Saints in 2021.
Well, it's a game changer if he happens to miss games. Right? We saw what happened last year. They couldn't really move the ball all anywhere near as well as expected. Now, no Drew Brees. I think it's going to be Winston. I think you maybe think it's going to be Hill. It won't matter. Who's starting there? Michael Thomas is going to miss time. Now, once again, he had surgery in June, so he could miss time. I don't think he will miss time. My biggest worry is, will he be up to speed? You know, that's what will take him time to get, you know, in football speed. He's going to miss most of the camp. You know, so that might be a bigger worry for me. And you look at the depth chart behind Thomas, Traquan Smith, Deontay Harris, Marquez Callaway. I'm not all that impressed. All right, they have a lot of issues here. It's not like anybody at the tight end position also to pick it up there, besides Colonel Troutman there, Adam Troutman, Nick Vinette. So all sorts of issues here. I said yesterday when we were talking about New Orleans, if they lose Thomas or Kamara, I think they're done. You know, they're out long term here. So this is not a very good start here. And as I told you during the break, my biggest question would be, why did he wait so long to have this surgery? I guess it's been bothering him for a couple of years now. He didn't have it until June.
Well, yeah, I think the biggest thing, too, is that some of these players go to different doctors. They get a second opinion. I mean, if you can avoid surgery at all costs, you do it, right? And he played through some nagging injuries last year. The biggest thing for the quarterback position, whether it be Taysom Hill or whether it be Jameis Winston, is that quarterback-to-wide receiver relationship. I understand they play with Michael Thomas at the end of the year, but it's a lot different in terms of the expectations. This team is supposed to be a team that's supposed to contend in the division. Now that Drew Brees is gone, this is supposed to be a younger-minded team, right? Sean Payton has the younger pieces in place. Can he develop the offensive philosophy? More importantly, what is the offensive philosophy? If it's Jameis Winston, we know what we have, right? A pure pocket passer. Forget the RPO game. They're going to sprinkle in Taysom Hill just the way they did with Drew Brees. Without Michael Thomas there, you know teams are going to stack the box because there isn't a deep threat to take the top off the secondary in that regard. And they're going to force the quarterback, whether it be Jameis or Taysom Hill, to beat them over the top. And we said it before, their win total for the year is 9. I am selling them hard this year. I think the schedule is very difficult. And if you don't have Michael Thomas in the beginning of that schedule, I said that they could start 1-6 with him. Without him, that's a huge possibility entering this season.
Yeah, now I think you're being a little too hard on New Orleans, maybe a lot too hard, actually. But without Michael Thomas, I would certainly be moving over to your side of things there. They'd have all sorts of issues without Michael
Thomas. But, George, when we say, like, being too hard, I mean, the expectations are there for them to be a playoff team, right? The expectations are there for them to put up the same type of offensive production, if not greater, without Drew Brees now, because we knew everything was short to intermediate with Drew. He couldn't push the ball down the field, right? He was inconsistent. His arm strength wasn't there at the end of the year. Well, now you have a strong-arm quarterback in Taysom Hill, not very consistent, even though he came on last year. And you have Jameis Winston. What do we really get with Jameis? You know, is he going to revert back to form a couple of years ago with Tampa Bay, where he'll throw 30 touchdowns and turn the football over just as much, 30 interceptions? Or is everything going to be short? Is everything going to be less explosive because they don't want to take that chance with the quarterbacks right now?
I think we got to get over 30 interceptions. It's been a couple of years. All right. Everybody struggles in that Bruce Arians offense that first time. Everybody does. Tom Brady did. Now, he got over it quicker because he's Tom freaking Brady. You know, but he had struggled at the beginning of the year, too. We all had doubts about what was going on there. I mean, we were all criticizing Brady and the Arians offense because it wasn't working. You know, he had trouble with the deep ball. So it is what it is. I'd get over that. I think Peyton is more than confident in Winston. I think he'll be fine. I don't think he's going to be, you know, Drew Brees, but I think he'll be fine here. But I say it again, to go 1-6 for New Orleans, you're saying they're going to lose to Carolina, New England, Giants, the Washington football team. They're only going to beat one of those. Not to mention Green Bay in week 1 with or without Aaron Rodgers. They're not going 1-6. Right, that's not happening. If Michael Thomas doesn't play, I don't know if they go 1-6.
All right, with Thomas in there, do you see them as a 4-2 team in terms of the first 6 games of the season? You're that confident about Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston that you think that they could definitely pull out 4 of those games. We know about Kamara. I mean, as Kamara goes, we talked about it yesterday, so do the New Orleans Saints. I'm just not sold on the quarterbacks entering camp right now.
All right, we're up against it. So real quick, if it's Taysom Hill, all bets are off the board here. I don't have any belief in Taysom Hill being the starting quarterback at all. You want to do the gimmick thing? Fine. I'm on Winston being the quarterback.
When we come back, we'll be talking about the rest of the quarterback battles in the NFL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Going to break down some of the quarterback battles entering camp over the next couple of weeks. We talked about Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. We're going to turn our attention to Chicago. Andy Dalton, Justin Fields. I know Matt Nagy has already named Andy Dalton the week one starter, but we need to delve into this a little bit deeper, George, because I got to be honest, in order for the Chicago Bears to rebuild, take the next step, and become a solid playoff team, they need to start Justin Fields immediately. Andy Dalton is just pedestrian. You know what you get with him. He's aging. He's old. You had him in Dallas. He couldn't step up, and more importantly, couldn't last even a half a season after Dak Prescott went down. I think the Chicago Bears are doing a huge disservice to not only their fans, but the players on the team by not starting Justin Fields week one.
Okay, I agree. Next. I do agree. I agree with everything you just said. That's exactly how I would have put this. I think it's kind of, I don't understand why Nagy felt the need to name him the starter before anything, you know, for a training camp or anything. Why? It's not like Dalton is your legacy quarterback. Like, if this is Cincinnati and Dalton was still there and they drafted Fields, okay, I sort of get it. Dalton's been your starting quarterback for a decade plus. You pay reverence to him. Yo, you have a starter. I get that. It's Chicago. First time there. He was bad last year. Yet you felt the need to name him the starter? Why? Are you trying to take pressure off Fields? I sort of get that, but what happens if you change your mind then? You kind of look silly. Yeah, just I don't understand this. I think when it comes to all these rookie quarterbacks, I always say this same thing. Every rookie quarterback, as soon as they are ready to play, they play. I don't care if it's week one, week four, whatever it might be. So I would not have named Dalton starter. I would have said, hey, it is what it is. It's competition. Yeah, if Dalton outplays him, or I don't feel Fields is ready, well then Dalton's going to start. But if Fields is ready or close to ready, he's starting. And I look at it for this reason. I assume with the rookie quarterback. The season's done. You're not going very far. It's a rookie quarterback. It takes time to learn the NFL. But I want to get all the rookie mistakes out in season
one.
So that next year, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to move. You know, so that's what I want here. You play the Rams game 1-1. I get it. And you're at L.A. It's a tough defense. If that's why you're doing this, and it's a Sunday night game as well, and that's why you're doing this, fine. I understand that as well. Then week two at Cincinnati, a much better landing spot. Here we go. You play Cleveland week three. Then you got Detroit, Vegas. You know, soft landing spots for them. Cleveland's not easy, but I'll take that. But Fields has to, in my mind, Joe, unless things are going terribly wrong and he's not learning the playbook, he's a slow starter, he has to be starting in September.
I don't buy the fact that this playbook, I'm sorry. If you're the head coach and you're Matt Nagy, you design a playbook that complements Justin Fields' strengths and weaknesses. We see this too many times in the NFL. The kid's got to play under center. No, he doesn't. You put him in the shotgun. You allow him to improvise. You allow him to do his thing. And that's the problem. And that's why Baltimore had success with Lamar Jackson, because they actually designed the offense around his strengths, not his weaknesses. And when you look at Justin Fields in terms of the kid not being ready, the kid played in front of 110,000 fans in Columbus, played in some of the best games in college football, dominated Clemson with 6 touchdown passes in the college football playoff with hurt ribs. You're telling me that's not a team leader? He's one of the most athletic quarterbacks in college football, came as a 5-star recruit to Athens and Kirby Smart in Georgia. He transferred. Wake Fromm got the job, but you're telling me Andy Dalton, Dutch Dalton, and even though that's not his name, that was Darren Dalton's nickname, but Andy Dalton, that really was just a Patrian average middle-of-the-road quarterback, is going to be your starter in Chicago for a team that was 8-8 overall and limped into the playoffs last year. That's who you want leading your team in 2021? And Matt Nagy, George, is a terrible play caller. And people can argue with me. In the red zone, he's a deer in the headlights. He looks lost. He was just as bad as Doug Peterson in Philadelphia. The man does not know how to coach offense. It's amazing that he still has his job this year.
Once again, you're stealing my thoughts here. I have nothing to add to this. I'm just going to back you up here. I agree. I think for Chicago to think Andy Dalton's the answer doesn't make any sense. Justin Fields, and one thing I agree with you, it's another big-time pet peeve of mine in the NFL, the square hole round peg. You know, where the coaches want the player to fit their system. The greatest thing that Harbaugh did was realize, okay, you know, Lamar Jackson's not going to be your prototypical quarterback. And he designed the offense around his running ability. And that's the way it should be. If you wanted to get Fields to be your prototypical quarterback, that might take years upon years to be that kind of guy. You know, you're not going to wait for that. Nagy won't be around for that. You know, you got to design your offense around him, to what he does well. You can slowly integrate him to being a prototype quarterback. And, you know, hey, that's fine. Maybe Harbaugh's doing that with Lamar Jackson. He is trying to, but it's a slow process. But you want to win football games in the process. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me to do it any other way here. He's not going to learn your system. By the time he does, guess what, Mr. Nagy? You'll be gone. And I agree with you. He should be gone already.
And it's not a knock on Justin Fields. He completed 70% of his passes a couple of seasons ago in Columbus. He is an accurate passer. And the biggest thing is, when we look at the other player that is sort of complimented with him or compared to Justin Fields, it's Trey Lance, right? Trey Lance, in terms of his college career, 28 touchdowns at the FCS level, no interceptions. The kid completed 66% of his passes going up against subpar competition at North Dakota State. They were the best team. They were the Alabama of the FCS level. And for some reason, Trey Lance is looked at as like this god. Like, he's looked at as this complete quarterback. And Justin Fields can't understand the system. Explain that to me. It's a media narrative. It's they pick the player that they want to pump and the player that they actually want to bash on. And if they watch college football, they would understand that Justin Fields was head and shoulders where Trey Lance was coming out of college last year. And more importantly, he might have an opportunity to knock off Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco now.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we're in this together. When it comes to Chicago, you did a great job trading up for him, right? Great job. Now use him correctly. Get him in your offense. This division, if Rodgers is out, could be there for them. I mean, it could be there. I know you're big on Minnesota. I would like Minnesota to win the division also if Rodgers is gone, but it could be there for them. You're looking at playoff possibilities. And once again, I say this really for Nagy to save his job. You know, best case scenario, you only get one team out of the NFC East, just a division winner there. Maybe only one team out of the NFC South, just a division winner there in Tampa Bay. The problem is the NFC West for those wild cards, right? Rams, Cardinals, Niners, Seahawks, they're all good teams. Every wild card could come out of that division, but that would be tough. They're going to knock each other off. So there could be a wild card coming out of the NFC North, maybe even two if you get lucky. So it could be there for them, but more importantly, you're playing for your future, and that's Justin Fields. Dalton is not your future. He's a backup quarterback now. You have yourself a nice backup quarterback. That's what you have. Fields should be starting. Like I said, I'll say this over and over again. Fields should be starting as soon as he's ready. If that's now, then he starts week one. If it's week four, fine, whatever it might be. If it's after the bye week, which would be halfway through the season, I'm okay with that too. But he's not starting. I'm not starting him when where, you know, 4-10 in the playoffs are done. I'm not waiting that long. I think he's ready earlier. I don't even care if Dalton starts off 4-0. I'm still putting in Fields in when he's ready.
Well, when we look at their win total, 7.5 on FanDuel, it's a -110. You think that incorporates Andy Dalton as the starter or Justin Fields at some point? Because I think if Justin Fields is the quarterback at week one or even week three, like you mentioned, they have an opportunity because he's athletic. With Andy Dalton, I think they're a 4-win football team. I think if Andy Dalton starts every game this year for the Chicago Bears, I don't care how good people might think that defense is. I think they're aging. I think they're a 4-5-win football team. They're one-dimensional. You could stack the box, and Dalton cannot stretch defenses over the top. So do you think they get to that number more importantly? Do you think that 7.5 is achievable with Andy Dalton at the helm?
No, I don't. I don't think it's achievable with Dalton. I do think it's a possibility with Fields because I think he can win some games, but with his athleticism alone here. I mean, you look at the possible win games. It's like Cincinnati, Detroit, Vegas, you know, but give me the under of Dalton.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll break down the battle in San Francisco. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation of quarterback training camp battles. We just broke down Chicago. Going to look at San Francisco right now. Jimmy Garoppolo does come back from injury. The team drafts North Dakota State quarterback Trey Lance with the third overall pick. There's been some criticism in terms of which quarterback should get the nod with Kyle Shanahan and the crew. A lot of complimentary pieces around these quarterbacks. Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. They get Trey Sermon in the draft, the running back. George, I mean, the pieces are there, but I think the offensive philosophy really needs to be adjusted depending upon the quarterback that Kyle Shanahan goes with. I think if he goes with Garoppolo, it's more of a ground and pound type of offense, what we saw a couple years ago in the Super Bowl against Kansas City. I think if it is Trey Lance, you need to open it up in terms of the RPO game, utilize his athleticism. That's not going to be easy for a team that really likes to run the football, though.
All right, once again, we agree here. Now, Shanahan has already made it known, right? When you make the trade, you're saying, listen, I want Trey Lance to be the starting quarterback. It's just a matter of when again. Now, you bring up another great point here. When you have two different quarterbacks with two different styles of play, you almost have to have two different offenses, and that's rough. That's just rough here. We know in a perfect world, I think they would have liked to have traded Jimmy G already, you know, but nobody would pay the price they wanted to pay, that San Fran wanted as far as a return. They couldn't get that. But I think they would have liked to have moved on from now, so they don't have to go through what we're talking about here. That, you know, hey, if Jimmy G starts, it's one offense, ground and pound. Trey Lance is there, it's another offense, more RPO. All right, that sort of thing. So that can be rough here. Now, Lance, the one criticism of it, that he may not be ready to start right away. So I guess
see,
that
but that's
play
the
into
thing, though,
well.
George. If he's not ready, did the San Francisco 49ers have to trade up to get him in this draft? You see, that's the big... Again, we always talk about quarterback for the future. That quarterback, if you're taking him third overall, he better be game ready. Because Trey Lance is not this world-beater type of quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, like you needed him. He was 6'6", 235 pounds, the strongest arm in college football, national champion. He was... think about that for a second. You traded up to get Trey Lance to have him sit for a year? For what reason? Did you really need to reach up and get him? Is he that good? I don't even know if he's that good, to be honest with you. I watch college football all the time, and you have a quarterback that only completed 66% of his passes at the FCS level, and the one game that he played in 2020 in terms of the pandemic season, he was a little inconsistent. So if that's your body of work at the college level, and Kyle Shanahan reaches up to get him, this is supposed to be the best team in the division on paper, and you're not going to start him week one? Explain that methodology to me about why you needed to reach up and draft Trey Lance this season.
Okay, so this is where you and I will disagree. It's not so much about Lance. I think you know more about him than I do. So I'll take your word there. Do you need to trade up and get him? Yes. Or get any quarterback? Yes. If you want to try and convince me that Trevor Lawrence, Wilson, Lance are the top three players in the NFL draft, you're going to be peeing down my back and telling me it's raining. No, that's not true. But everybody has to trade it for a quarterback. You have no choice because it's a quarterback-driven league. You have to keep trying to get your franchise quarterback to compete. That's why you try it over and over again. But if I was Denver, there's no way I would have taken a cornerback at, what was it, 9. I would have taken Mac Jones. I would have taken Fields. I would have done that. You know, I don't care. You fail 3 other times to get your quarterback. You know, Locke's not the answer. You know, Bridgewater's not the answer. I would have taken Fields. Yeah, you know, you but keep Locke trying was, to you get the right guy. You have to trade up. You have to trade up and get the guy because they're not going to fall to you. I think San Fran's also looking like, yeah, we bombed last year. We had 8,000 injuries, and they did. Everybody and their mother got hurt last year. So that's why they were where they were, in position to trade up to get one. This year, with Jimmy G, if things go normal, what's their worst-case scenario? A 500 team? Well, there is no 500. 8-9, 9-8? That's not going to get you a quarterback next year. That's not going to get you a top 8 pick. So I think they made the right thing. I think they did the right thing.
All right, well, only time will tell, right? Well, if Trey Lance is playing in the league 8 years down the road and he's won two Super Bowls or at least got his team to the Super Bowl, you can make that assessment. I just, when you saw the pressing need for them to reach up, that's the concern I have. Because you look at Justin Fields, that fell to number 11. I mean, if you wanted that type of quarterback, I mean, Justin Fields was right there and more battle-tested. But they fell in love with Trey Lance for whatever they saw in terms of his pro days, whatever they saw on film, and they got him. Now they're going to have to live with him because this is the one and done. If you do start Jimmy Garoppolo this year and he's out of San Francisco next year, you live and die with Trey Lance. And it's not just going to be a one-year type of fix. It's a 2 or 3 year type of window. So if they picked wrong, they are going to feel the effects for 3-4 years down the road, and then who knows at that point, right? That defense is not going to be as young as it was 3 years later. So we'll see. Only time will tell, George, in terms of that assessment. Do you feel that if Trey Lance starts week one, do you feel with the pieces that are there that are around him, they are a playoff contender, being a rookie?
I think it'll be tough being a rookie. San Fran's got the defense, right? They will not be as hurt as they were last year. They just can't be. It's like impossible. But you play in a division from hell, right? We know the Rams are going to be a good team. Seattle's going to be a good team. Arizona should be a good team as well. I think Seattle and the Rams are better than Arizona, but I don't think this is a 7-10 team. I think they'll be right around 9 wins, maybe double digits if things go right for them, especially if that defense can pick it up a little bit. You know, they should have made the playoffs last season. They choked at the end there. So it's a really tough division. That's the one thing that could really hold them back here. And I don't think they're going to redshirt them, where, you know, Jimmy G is going to start all the games and, you know, we don't see Lance till next year. I don't think he'd trade up to do that. I do think Jimmy G will start the season, and then we'll see how Jimmy G does. You know, that sort of thing there. And sooner or later, it could be after the bye. They have an early bye. They get 5 games in. If they're 2-3, 1-4, I think you could see, Lance in week 7. But once again, I always go through the same philosophy in my head. As soon as he's ready to play, there's a reason you traded up to get him. You want him to be your starter. And as soon as he's ready to play, he plays. And it's from week one, you're not going to get a much easier first 2 games at Detroit, at Philadelphia. I know it's on the road, but you're talking 2 teams that no one expects to make the playoffs.
Yeah, FanDuel doesn't have passing totals yet for Garoppolo or Trey Lance. They're going to see how that battle takes shape during training camp. Once they post them, George and I will go through it. You mentioned Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts, right? You're number two. They need to understand, Philly does, right? Is Jalen Hurts the guy to lead us to the promised land, right? Jalen Hurts is going to be under the microscope this year. A lot is expected for him. You know, their win total is 6.5 on FanDuel. And more importantly, when you look at the numbers this year, 3,750.5 in terms of his passing total, minus 112. Right? We know Joe Flacco is there. Forget Joe Flacco. He's talking smack that he didn't come there to be a backup. Joe, sit, take a seat, Joe. You sucked in with the New York Jets. You're lucky to win one game. I mean, Jalen Hurts, though, can he be this guy? You have Jalen Reagor there. You have Devontae Smith. Flacco will push him a little bit, but are you sold that Philadelphia has their quarterback of the future in Jalen Hurts?
All right, first of all, Flacco ain't pushing nobody. All right, this whole season for Philadelphia is about Jalen Hurts. All right, and the reason is very simple. They have three number one picks next year. Once again, one number one depends on how many games Carson Wentz plays for Indianapolis, and it's not many. I think he plays more than 12 offhand. They'll have three number one picks. So if they believe in Hurts, all right, there you go. You fill in the roster around him. You know, you get, running back, probably more on the offensive line defense for Philadelphia. So it's all about Hurts. You got Miles Sanders there who was, had some fumble issues last year, got hurt a little bit. Wide receiver, you got Devonta Smith, Reagor. You got Dallas Goedert, a tight end. You have Zach Ertz now, although I think he gets traded. Not for another number one, but I think he gets traded certainly by the deadline this year. So it's all about Jalen Hurts to find out if he's your quarterback. Guys, like I said, that's all this is. You're not going to the playoffs. Even in the NFC East, you're not going to compete for this division. You're just not. And it doesn't matter. That's fine for Philadelphia. It's why you were in salary cap hell. You had to get rid of some guys. So find out about Hurts. If he's your guy, great. If not, then you know you either got to go out and trade for Deshaun Watson. I'll say this again. I think they're going to be in play for this, assuming eventually that everything plays out in the Watson fiasco this year. He'll be suspended, whatever. I don't know if he's going to go to jail, but all that'll be worked out, right? It'll all be worked out. Next year, he'll be fine to play, fine to start. Philadelphia has to be in the running for him. They have to be in the running for him. Because once it'll be a brand new start, you can get yourself a top five quarterback. You may have to spend all three of those number ones, but you get yourself a top five quarterback. Once again, that's what you need to find out about Hurts. You need to find out about him. Because if not, you're trading for one or you're drafting one next year.
Hurts to me is not a starter. And I know he had an okay season last year. He was productive, had a good game against Arizona. But I've watched him in his career, an inconsistent quarterback. When he went with Lincoln Riley, they had the best team in the conference in the Big 12, and he struggled against some of the better defenses, including Matt Rule's Baylor team, in both the Big 12 championship and in the regular season, had some fumble issues as well. This is his sophomore season, his second year, right? So now, does he take the next step, or does he regress? And you look at the pieces around him. Are they going to build this offense around him? If you're comparing Jalen Hurts to Kyler Murray at this point, it is not even close. Kyler Murray is a much more polished quarterback than Jalen Hurts. That is just a fact. I'm sorry. Jalen Hurts is still figuring out how to play the quarterback position. He was a running quarterback with Nick Saban in Alabama. He was a winner. He was 26-2 as a starter before he transferred to Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley. This is not the quarterback of the future for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm sorry. We'll see how they step up this year, but don't be shocked if they're in the market for a quarterback in 2022. When we come back, we'll look at some week one lines. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Breaking down the quarterback battles in training camp. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, right here on Pro Football Full Circle, Sirius Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Network. George, we didn't touch on the two rookies, and we'll get into that. Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson in terms of their player props for 2021, and then look at some week one matchups. You look at Trevor Lawrence. Dynamic prop here in terms of passing totals. You want to take a guess, and I know you have it in front of you, but did you really think 4,150 yards and a half for year number one in Jacksonville?
That sounds high, but once again, you know me, I'm the math guy here. So the first thing I like to do is always break things down by math. You're talking 244 yards a game. All right, okay. He's got weapons. You know, I'm not gonna call it.
Do you love those weapons though, George? Do you like I like Chenault. But DJ Chark.
I like Chark.
Marvin Jones. Yeah.
Marvin Jones is a nice third, you know. Marvin Jones could be a good third receiver for a lot of teams. I do like. I don't love it. I'm not gonna compare it to the Cowboys. You know, it's not right. Cooper, Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb, but it's solid. That being said, I think if you're taking the over here, you're going on the assumption they're gonna be trailing a lot of games and throwing the ball 40 times. You know, I think that's what you're going for here. You're going for volume because I don't see Lawrence being great out of the gate. So to answer your question, I would take the under. I do think they'll throw a lot, but still 244, and this is, assuming he stays healthy for 17, that's a lot to ask for.
Yeah, we're talking about a team that lost 15 straight, right, in terms of their games last year. Urban Meyer likes to run the football. Travis Etienne is going to be that home run hitter. I'm going to say it now. I know you were shocked that they got Etienne. He is that Alvin Kamara type of player. He's that 5-tool running back. He can catch the football out of the backfield. That can add to some yards for Trevor Lawrence, that security blanket. He's a winner. He runs from point A to point B in a second. So if I had to break down this number, I'm going over for Trevor Lawrence. Okay, I think they chuck it, but I also think they have offensive balance 244 in today's NFL with an extra game, you got to believe he's going to play 17 games, right? So I'll take a shot here over for Trevor Lawrence. You're going to go under. Let's look at Zach Wilson, because I think this is a high number with Robert Saleh as their head coach and the philosophy here. 3,850 and a half in year one for Zach Wilson. They just signed draft pick Elijah Moore, that a bolster. That wide receiver core, Denzel Mims, Jamison Crowder are there. Do you think he could get to 3,851 this season? I don't think so.
Once again, he took about 227 yards a game, so about 17 less than Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to lean under as well. I think the Jets have done a pretty decent job here, you know, as far as weapons around him. Listen, the running back leaves some. We'll see what Michael Carter can do. But the running back leaves something to be desired there. But, hey, you can't fix everything in one offseason. Corey Davis, you know, when he wants to play, he's going to be very good. Denzel Mims, second year. Crowder is a fine number three. Elijah Moore, we'll see what he can do. So they're building up there. Herndon, disappointing last year. Can't really be any worse. Croft, Griffin, you know, solid depth there. The offensive line's getting better. All right, so they should be able to protect them a little bit. I think it's a lot to ask as well. This is still not a very good team. Remember, you can play two games against Miami, good defense. Two games against Buffalo, good defense. Two games against New England, good defense. This would even without looking at the rest of your schedule here, about the other 11 games and how many top defenses you're playing. So I'm leaning under as well.
I think this is a dead under. I'll tell you why. His security blanket, he's like a lot like Carson Wentz. The security blanket for Zach Wilson on the college level was the tight end. Chris Herndon has never lived up to expectations in the NFL where he was at the University of Miami. So that tight end is a weakness for this team. If he can't go to the tight end, he's going to be a deer in the headlights. They're going to force him to beat defenses over the top. They're going to force Zach Wilson. Okay, you're the second draft pick in the NFL. We're going to challenge you. We're going to stack the box, take away the running game, and we're going to blitz off the edge. And guess what? You're not going to be able to beat us, we don't think. And that's the weakness in Zach Wilson's game. He rolls out a lot. He does not go through his reads and progressions, and when he breaks contain, George, he has a tendency to force balls into coverage, and that's going to be a weakness on the next level. You're not talking about North Alabama that you're playing or Coastal Carolina. You're talking about elite defenses, and think about the defenses, basically, in the AFC East. He's got to go up against New England and Bill Belichick. He's got to go up against Brian Flores in Miami and Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills that I said has the best defense in the NFL, in my opinion, entering 2021.
I'll take Washington for the best defense in the NFL, but your point is made. I agree with you. There's a tough defense here. And once again, this is just the defenses we know they play. They also play at Denver. They also play Tennessee. Two more good defenses. Indianapolis, good defense. You know, so it's not going to be fun for them. New Orleans, good defense. Tampa Bay, another very good defense. That's 11 games now against what, in my mind, will certainly be top 10 defenses.
Right.
So, yeah, he's going to have a tough time reaching that total.
So 11 of the 17 are against what we consider top 10 defenses. And how many yards per game? 226 he's got to have, right? He might have like a Drew Lock type of first year. I could see that for Zach Wilson, that inconsistent maybe 15, 16 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. I think he's going to throw a ton of interceptions on the next level. So we'll see. You're definitely going under because I am. 3,850 and a half, I think, is a dead under for Zach Wilson.
Agreed. All the reasons you said there. And once again, I don't think Saleh's going to throw the ball up and down the field. I don't think he wants to be that kind of team. He's a defensive coach. I think he's going to try. Yeah, whether you agree with this or not, I think he's going to try and play 20 to 17 bowl games. He doesn't want to try and play 31-28 games here, so give me the under.
All right, we'll see. Let's talk about some week one games. Now, they do have on FanDuel the preseason games. I don't like getting into the preseason games until I see camp, because then we are able to break down the college players. Do you bet preseason football? I do, but I wait until I get an assessment in terms of camp, and then I gauge to see, you know, if some of these college guys that I follow are going to be, you know, playing at the end of the game in the fourth quarter.
I'm a baseball guy, so there's plenty for me to bet, all right, during training camp. Plenty, you know, where I don't feel the need to be to bet. That being said, you and I could be doing a show Thursday afternoon and you're going bananas about whatever game it is. Oh, you got it. You know, you could convince me. Gabe Morenci's convinced me. Cam Stewart has convinced me. So you could convince me. Just like I'm not a basketball guy, but all these guys have convinced me to make a basketball bet here and there.
Right.
And generally, by the way, I've done pretty well at it. So they've helped out a lot. So you could convince me, but probably not.
All right, we're gonna break down the preseason games starting next week. We'll get the gauge of the Hall of Fame game and some of the others. But let's look ahead to week one. Let's start in Tampa Bay, right? Super Bowl champs, they come home, they face your Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. They're a 6.5-point favorite on FanDuel, -110 either way. I got to be honest with you, George. All eyes are on Tampa Bay, 31 players in terms of game experience. But give me Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. They got Micah Parsons. I like that offense. They can go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. Is there an emotional hangover? Not possibly for Brady. He's been there, done that. But for some of the younger players, right? Godwin, Mike Evans that never won a Super Bowl. How are they going to be at the start of the year? How is Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, how are they going to be at the start of the year? And more importantly, Bruce Arians, right? Wins his first Super Bowl. So give me the hungry team, the team that has something to prove going on the road. I like the Cowboys plus the 6.5 week one.
Yeah, I probably lean the other way, but I see what you're talking about here. It seems like the game one for the Super Bowl champions, there is that hangover. They might have a ceremony going on before, and the fans are going nuts. It's a Thursday night game. Everything that's going to happen there, I sort of get that. That being said, the bet I like the most would be the over. I think a lot of points
52?
Are coming
here. Really? 52?
Unless you tell me that Dallas defense is immensely better. 52 is only a 27-26 ball game. It's four touchdowns each. You tell me Dallas and Tampa Bay aren't scoring four touchdowns each? I mean,
they need that game, though. They need that game. I could see Zeke being a major part of that offense in terms of ground and pound. They don't want to put the game solely on Dak because he's coming back for the ACL. I could see Dak, 220 in that game, 225, in that area. But it's going to fall on the offensive line. If they have success, I think, early on, running the football, they're going to have a shot to slow down the tempo. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if it blows through the 52, but a week one game where quarterback to wide receiver relationship is always big in terms of continuity, I would lean under, but I would say a no play for me at this point. But would you take Dallas? You'd lay the wood with Tampa Bay right here.
I think you may go. I do like your points. I'm not going to take the game.
Right.
Well,
I love
once
Dallas.
I see training camp, we'll
you might
see what's
call me
happen.
Crazy. I love Dallas.
My problem is this. The offense I know can play. I don't know about the defense. It certainly won't be as bad as it was last year. It can't.
Right.
It's impossible. It has to be better. But how much better? And Tampa Bay, by the way, like I said, that usually the first year of the Arians, you struggle. I think that offense is only going to get better. I don't know if it'll be week one better, but I think if the season rolls on, I think it's a team that's going to roll and score a truckload of points. So I do lean the over here, but the game itself probably not touching.
All right, so let's look at this one, another marquee game. Pittsburgh on the road against Buffalo. Now, they played this game, right? This was the game that Roethlisberger went on the road last year, and basically the ball was fluttering. He hit James Washington on a touchdown pass. That was the day I had James Washington for two touchdowns in the game, right? It paid a phenomenal amount. He hits him in quarter number one and then doesn't go to him the rest of the game because he couldn't get the ball past 10 yards. Now they go on the road. Josh Allen, this team is hungry. They get Boogie Basham from Wake Forest. They get Gregory Rousseau. They're going to be all over Ben Roethlisberger in this game. I love Buffalo. I think they win this ball game by 17 points or more week one against the Steelers.
Yeah, I have nothing to add here. Once again, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that Pittsburgh offensive line is going to struggle. Ben pretty much came out and said it this week. He expects them to struggle early on. I think Buffalo's going to eat his lunch. And
all right, let's talk
Steelers.
Let's
Steelers
talk about this game. How about this game? You're with me, right? I think we'll disagree here. Seattle on the road as a 2-point underdog to Carson Wentz and the Colts. Carson Wentz is a favorite at home with Frank Reich and Jonathan Taylor going up against Russell Wilson. He's only catching 2 points. Give me Seattle right now. There's no way I have confidence in Carson Wentz week one. You?
Well, I guess I disagree with you in that I wouldn't bet the game. I don't disagree with you that I'm not going to take Indianapolis, but I'm not going to take Seattle either. I think it's a close game. I think they have it right. I think it'll be a swing here and there. I think Indianapolis is a very good team. I don't trust Wentz either. I don't hate him as much as you do. I might get a Christmas card. You're not getting a Christmas card. One thing I will take is the under here. I think that under is the over under is way too high at 52.5. These are both. Indianapolis is a good defense. Seattle is a better than average defense. I don't trust Wentz. Give me the under here.
All right. We'll see how that game plays out. Here's another one I know we're going to disagree on. Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos are 1-point favorites in East Rutherford against the Giants and Joe Judge. Oh, baby, give me the Broncos. I think they pace the Giants and Danny Jones in that week one matchup.
Yeah, you and I disagree here. I think people aren't giving the Giants enough love. I'm not saying they're going to be a great team. I don't even know they make the playoffs or win the division. But that being said, I don't think they're horrific. I don't. I think this team is improving. Do I trust Daniel Jones? We sort of go back to Indianapolis here. No, I don't. But I don't think they're going to be a terrible team here. I'm, once again, not betting the game, but I could be convinced to, and I'll take the Giants side.
Oh, KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton. Give me the Broncos, baby. When we come back, we'll be wrapping up the show, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up the conversation about week one games, we talked about Denver and the New York Giants. Want to ask you about this one, George. Minnesota and Cincinnati, very intriguing line, -3.5 on FanDuel for the Vikings. That's my team of the year going up against Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor. I don't see how the Bengals compete week one. It's not Joe Burrow. It is Zach Taylor. I don't think he's going to be prepared. I think the Vikings dominate that matchup with Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I'm probably with you here. This is one we agree on. I like the -3.5 as well. -88 is a little high for me. I can see myself pairing this, though, with another game, doing a parlay. So, but I'm on the Minnesota Vikings as well here. I think stopping Dalvin Cook, they're going to feature him heavily. And I do wonder if Burrow gets off to a slow start, by the way, coming back from the injury.
Yeah, Burrow, I'm concerned about that as well. Now they draft his teammate, Jamar Chase, to go in that lineup with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. We'll see exactly how that plays out in Cincinnati. Last game we'll look at before we wrap it up, George. Cleveland on the road, 6-point dogs against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. You like the Browns week one?
No, that's a rough place to play. I mean, Kansas City, those fans are going to be going bananas. First time they'll have a full house in a couple of years there. I think -250 is nuts. So I'm certainly not doing that for the Chiefs either. I think this is more of a game where you watch and enjoy. Maybe some props, but the game itself, I'm leaving alone.
It's a rematch of the playoff game. 8.5-point dogs, 9-point dogs. They cover it against Chad Henne. They have to say, we were in that game. Let's step up week one against Patrick Mahomes, catching less than a touchdown right now on FanDuel, +6 at -110. I'm going to roll the dice here, George. I'm going to take Baker Mayfield. I'm going to take Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, Bell on the road. I'm striking. Ready for this? Upset City, outright over the Chiefs.
You're smoking the good stuff.
George and I are going to be here every week. Next week, we'll be breaking down all the training camps. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.